start our service. They're waiting online for us. Thank you. So if everybody could find a seat, please, we're going to pray. Okay. Morning, Karen. I see all the fish you got. My, oh my. Okay, is everybody ready or not? It's going to be we're going to have a very full morning here. So we've got lots going on. So let's stand and we're going to ask the Lord's awesome blessing on our service. Because He's such a loving God. And He loves all of you so much. My, oh my. So let's stand. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your awesome goodness here. And we know that you're right here in the midst of us, Lord. Because that is your promise unto us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst. So you're in the midst here, Lord, even though we can't see you, Lord, but we sense your presence. We sense your presence this morning. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory, all the honor, Lord. Father, we just ask that you would guide us and direct us this morning, Lord, even as we rejoice before you. And Lord, we're going to sing with all our heart. We're going to worship you with all our heart. Thank you, Father, this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. perfect shore, and in the west I stood and watched the noble eagles soar. And I have seen the fields of gold, of green and yellow too, and known the majesty of mountains touching skies of blue. And my heart's overwhelmed for this nation that I love. This is my song for Canada, a song for unity and a song for freedom. Oh Lord, our God, may your healing come, and may the walls that divide us no longer stand. Oh Lord, our God, heal our in the color of the northern lights that leap, dance, and sing. In the stillness of the forest when the snow melts in the spring. In the beauty of the muskeg that is red and gold and brown. Quiet expectation of the cities before dawn, and my heart's overwhelmed for this nation that I love. This is my song for Canada. Healing come, and may the walls.
Father. You have a manifest destiny for our nation to be a healing to all other nations. And I decree and declare that your will be done on this nation, this great nation. And yes, we are a sheep nation. And I thank you, Lord, that we are leading in the move of the Spirit, of your Spirit, because we're saying yes and amen, Lord, have your way in our nation. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you're Lord over Canada, that it's in your hand, and you will see us through to the end. Prison as cruel as the grave. Shame is a robber and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. And love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave,
no grave
gonna hold my body down.
Hold it down.
There ain't no grave.
Stay.
seated among us. That you're not far away in the heavens somewhere out in some galaxy, but you're here with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we invite you in here, Lord. Oh, to manifest your presence even in a greater way than what we've ever known. You are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. We open our hearts to receive more of you, Lord, more. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, we worship you, Lord. We worship you. lifted in your presence. And every burden will be lifted in your presence. And every trophy will be laid down at your feet. There is a name that reigns above all others.
Jesus Christ,
the King above all. This is a song that Jesus himself is going to sing to you. Hallelujah. Thank you. names that the enemy has called them. And you're pulling them out and replacing them with your name. Oh, yes, Jesus, you are. I will change your name. A great transfer happened where he took all those old names. He took them away from you. They don't belong to you. He took them. He said, they're my names. I will bear them. And he turned around and he gave you a brand new name. And there's in heaven a stone that is written a name only for you, that he has written for you. Thank you. Could. His presence is so good. Wow, praise the Lord. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's just nothing like His presence. Welcome to our onliners. Good to have this. And a few announcements. I don't know why this thing keeps cutting out, but anyway. Next Sunday, we're going to have the Kings here. Brent and Robbie are coming, and apparently there's another couple traveling with them. So they're going to come and be here with us, fellowshipping. And just all the way from Grand Prairie, you know, that's a bit of a hike. So, but who doesn't want to come to the Shoe Shop in the summertime, right? Amen? It's the best place on earth. So I just wanted to just give praise and glory to the Lord for just what happened this week with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. It's just awesome. And I just, you know, I know that the battle is not over for Canada. We haven't even begun, sort of thing. But I don't know how many of you are involved in any kind of an online prayer group, but on our bulletin board, there is a poster for the Life Room
and the justice wall. And if you go online to that wall, prayer room, life room, they'll have a schedule and they'll show like they've got every hour covered now. But there's a lot of times that there's just one person praying and they're really wanting everybody to have a prayer partner. You've got to have somebody to agree with you in prayer. And so if that's something, if there's an hour in your week that you would like to just give to the Lord, just to be able to pray, maybe go on the prayer wall and just check it out and see if there's a time that would fit for you. And there's some of us are doing Thursday night, and then some are on the firewall, which is all going 24/7, prayer going for Canada. And God's answering prayer. You know, the life room was really focused on Roe versus Wade. And we just gave it everything we had. And I believe God's answered prayer. I mean, it's been 50 years that diabolical death over the unborn. So anyway, I just wanted to give a shout out for that because it's really awesome that God is moving and he's got good things in store. If you haven't put your family's name in the little with love prayer box there, do that, because on Friday morning we pray, and each week we choose a different family to pray for, and it's been really cool what God, you know, the things that God's just for us to pray about. So thank you, Lord, for that. I believe Jerry's going to give a testimony. You said Jerry? Oh, Darren. You said Jerry. Terry is. Oh, Terry. No. Yes, dear. It's in the bulletin. On the 10th of July, we're going to have a lunch after church. There's a sign-up sheet, I think, on the board. And, I'm going to let you start doing the announcements because I'm trying to read lips all the time from up here, and I just can't do very good at that. Anyway, just so you know, we're going to have hot dogs and salads and dessert or whatever you want to bring. So just talk to Teresa or sign up on the board and let it be known that we're going to eat hearty on the 10th of July. Okay, Darren, is it you that's coming? Okay, come on up, Darren.
Okay, that's good. Oh, good, good, good. Well, praise the Lord. I want to share just a little bit about men's Bible study last night. It was wonderful, everybody that showed up. And if you didn't, get out there. The fellowship's good and the breakfast after is wonderful. But anyhow, we were sharing in Thessalonians, and something that really we discussed, and I think it's so important, is Paul said, we came as men speaking the word of God, and you received it as the word of God, and you revered it in reverence. And you know, as we were sharing, we were saying sometimes we take that, I've heard that scripture. Lord, you can't show me anything more about that. You know, and we have to always remember, like in my own life, as I humble myself and read the word, I'll read something that I've probably read 100 times. But when I come and say, you know, Lord, I don't know everything. I humble myself. Show me, lead me, guide me by your spirit. And I'll read it. And all of a sudden, I'll say to my wife, and she can testify to this, Kimberly, I've read this 45 times. I can't believe I didn't see this. And I thought, you know, if we would keep humble before God and allow the spirit to show us what he knows, boy, what a wonderful place we'd be in. But anyhow, I just want to encourage everybody that word of God is very, seek it, you know, devour it like a meal. And I think of Paul, you know, he was in prison. And I believe he said to Timothy, which really I used to think, Paul, are you out of your mind? It was cold. It was rainy. He said, bring my scrolls and my notebooks. And by the way, if you can find a blanket, bring that too. And I thought to him, he had a stronger desire in prison to still study and see that he may, like he said in his own words, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. He said, so bring me that. And if, by the way, it's really cold in here, so try to bring a blanket. But first of all, bring my scroll so I can study and see more of the Word of God. And even as communion, I what excites me, I've looked that word up, and it means come into union, a oneness with the Father through the Son. And boy, when we start to see these things, I know what causes me, even when I'm working in my yard, to sing and praise. And usually no one's around because I don't want to, the birds even leave. But anyhow, I have such a joy in my heart. It's like the scripture says, it's almost beyond my understanding. I just want to sing and praise God as I study and keep in His Word. So I just encourage everybody to really hunger and thirst after His Word, even more than physical food, for sure. Anyhow, thank you.
Did anyone else have a testimony? Come on up, Shelley. Good to have you here. I met Shelley a long time ago. She popped into the church one day when we were cleaning house here.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. This speaks to healing. We were talking a couple weeks ago, Pastor, and can you hear me better? Okay. Okay, you have to give me strength because I don't like talking in front of people. pretend you're not here. Okay. Okay, just a second. He sent His Word and He healed us. Not going to, He healed us. And I had an occasion, 2012, I'd broken my leg and I was in a cast and in a wheelchair. And I'd also torn the MCL and the ACL, which means nothing to me because I have a medical background, but it did mean I was going to be 2 more years in surgery and wheelchair and crutches and pain. And I was at work late one night on a Wednesday with my church in Chicago would frequently have healing services. So I'm sitting there doing my invoices and I'm listening. And my foot is prone underneath the desk in my wheelchair. And I could feel the Holy Spirit saying, what are you doing? And I knew it was coming. And I said, well, I'm listening to the Word. I'm doing my invoices right now. It was after the service. And you know how the Holy Spirit speaks? The same thing 3 times. Doesn't change. Just 3 times the same thing. What are you doing? And I said, I'm doing my invoices. And then on the 3rd time, He said, what are you doing? I said, okay, all right, already. Because I knew He wanted me to get up out of my wheelchair. And I'd been in it for 6 weeks, and there was nobody else around. But you know when you hear and you know it was not my idea to do this. And so I got up, and of course I had the cast on, one of those soft cast things, and decided just to take the crutches home and leave the wheelchair. And when I got home, I took my leg out of that thing. Well, it'd been straight for 6 weeks. I couldn't bend it, and of course it's still swollen. But I remembered a testimony many years ago about a little boy in a church picnic thing had sprained his leg in baseball. And the whole church came over, laid his hands, and it took 40 minutes. But the boy, through the pain, got up and continued to play baseball instead of going to the hospital. So the Holy Spirit brought that to my mind that, you know, you have every level, there's a different devil, and you're going to have to fight through it. So that's what I did. It took 4 days to bend my knee, and it was painful, but the Lord told me to do it, so I did it. And as God is my testimony, 12 years, I never went for surgery. I never went back to the doctor, and I've never had a problem with my knee since.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Margaret.
Well, I want to brag about God healing me, too. He healed me many, many times. But this one was similar to her incident of a bone being broken. And in the community I was in before, I was at youth group. And they were playing anti-I over. So the boys were on one side of the house throwing the ball over this way, and the girls were on this side. But the girls were at a lower level and they couldn't win. So I said, well, I'm going to show you how to throw this ball because I used to play ball. And I got all wound up to go and the ground went out from beneath me and over I went and I broke my wrist. landed right on the ground. And the point of my story is that I went to the hospital, and they put a cast on it. And it was from my fingers all the way to the elbow. And after 6 weeks, there was a substitute doctor there, and he phoned me, I'm so sorry, but we didn't set it properly. And we're going to have to re-break your wrist and put pins and screws in it and so forth. And I said, I don't think so. If you can't even put on a cast, that's the first cast I've ever had, and you can't even get that right, you think I'm going to let you do it again? I'm going to the great physician. And I never did go back. My wrist is still broken. And at first, like, it would not do this, anything like that. Now it does, and it's still broke. So God will help you anyway. I just want to add to that. My hands were damaged when I was a child. Apparently, I went to the neighbor's fire and put my fingers through the beautiful red coals and just about burnt my hands off. Both hands were damaged. And from then on, I could never clap. It just was so sore, I couldn't clap. But I did keep my hands. And I was involved in music, and I could play every instrument except a stringed instrument. It just hurt too much to press my fingers into the strings and so forth. But when my hands were damaged again when I had Guillain-Barré syndrome. And when God healed me of the syndrome, he healed me of the damage from the burn. And I got the double healing. And now I play guitar with those, like my fingers can stick right. And this is my broken wrist, and I have to put it around like that on the guitar strings. It can barely do it, but it's still healed enough to do that. And this left hand is also my motorcycle accelerator, and I have to do this, and I can do it just fine. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Miller, are you doing offering? You're doing offering?
Ms. Max is going to lead us in communion. Oh, there you are.
See if I can find the scripture.
You know, the Bible talks a lot about benefits, right? That he is loaded with benefits to give us. Yeah, and it's going, what am I going to use for offering here? And I looked at Psalm 20, and I'm going, oh, there's a lot in that. It's not very long. But it starts out and it says, the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Well, I've been there a lot of times. May the name of God of Jacob defend you. There's one more. There's one, right? There's one benefit, right? Defense. God's going to defend us, right? Verse 2 says, may he send you help from the sanctuary. Yeah, that's the kind of help we need. And strengthen you out of Zion. This is the third one. This is where you guys come in. Okay, remember this one. It says, may he remember all your offerings. Can you remember all your offerings in the years gone by? You probably gave a lot of offerings. If you've been in church for a while, you've given a lot of offerings, right? So this whole chapter here applies to you,
right? May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Now, I wasn't quite sure what the burnt sacrifice was. Joyce used to use that all the time when the cooking went bad. But it says here in verse 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire. Wow, that's quite a best benefit, isn't it? Your heart's desire. The Lord knows your heart's desire. Maybe we need to remind. Ooh, I lost my page. Maybe we need to remind him once in a while. Lord, this is my desire. Maybe you yell it out loud. This is my desire, Lord. Don't forget, right? May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. What's your purpose, right? He said, Lord, what is my purpose here on earth? We will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up banners. Ah, okay, we've had a few banners here this morning. One is the Canadian flag. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Here it is, right? Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Then it goes on to say, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So they have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Amen. That's us. We stand upright. Save the Lord. And David says, save the king and answer us when we call. And so that was David's prayer request, right? And so that's ours too, right? So, Father, we thank you this morning, even as we give. Lord, we will remember all your benefits. My, oh, my. And that's surrounding by giving. You see, the main subject here is giving. So you can see how the Lord honors our giving, right? Because because our giving indicates our trust in him, right? That shows that we trust him. Sometimes we have to trust him a little more than other times because maybe we haven't got more bills than we got money, right? So we need to honor him with our giving. So, Father, I thank you this morning. Lord, bless all the givers here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Lord, I'm going to ask Teresa and Jackie if you would distribute the elements for communion, please. Our two deacons, or two of our deacons, not the only two. So I'm going to read to you from Luke 22. It's when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. When the hour had come, I'm at 22 verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So today we're taking communion because he's asked us to do this in remembrance of what he's done for us. And I don't know about you, but I think doing it once a month at church is not often enough. I think that it's really important that we take communion often and remember the price that Jesus paid for us. We sang about it today, and it's a supreme high price. But his body was broken. And it said it's the stripes, his body wasn't broken, his bones are broken, but his skin was broken when he took those stripes on his back. And the Bible says that by his stripes we were healed. And then he said the blood is for the forgiveness of sins, because the Bible also tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Thanks, Jackie. So it's important. It's really important. This isn't just a little ceremony you do once a month. This is really important. We're remembering the supreme price. Thanks, Teresa. That Jesus paid. So when you take your bread, I would ask you to just break it. Because he said, this is my body that was broken for you. Break it, remembering that his back was whipped and stripped and broken open for us. So I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you for your body broken for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came, knowing that you came, you were born to come and die for us. You knew that, Lord. And yet you did it. You didn't turn away from it. You didn't bail out on us, but you satisfied the Father's will. So we receive this body broken for us this morning, and we give you thanks for what you've done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your body. Thank you for every lash you took, every beating, every place your body bled. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we remember when you said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. We receive this cup in remembrance of what you did. We receive this for the forgiveness of our sins. And we say, thank you, Jesus. You paid it all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just have a time of thanking the Lord and praising him for what he did for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We say thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you paid the supreme price for us, for forgiveness of sins, for healing for our body. Thank you, Jesus, for healing in every area of our lives, Lord. For people who are depressed and down in the dumps, Lord, you paid for that. For people who have financial problems, you paid for that. Lord Jesus, there's nothing that you left out in that covenant that you made with us. So we thank you and praise you and give you all the honor and glory. And we say, thank you, Lord. It's such a small word to say, but we thank you. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. How are you, amazing people? You're amazing. You better look at your neighbor and tell him. You probably haven't heard that for a few days. You're amazing. Look at your neighbor. Tell them they're amazing. Come on. Now I'll tell you why you're amazing. How many of you want to hear a fishing story? It's part of the message. Part of the Word of God. So, my wife and I thought we'll take a little holiday and we'll go to the island. So, anyway, I think a month before or so, we'd met some business people, and this guy was, you know, really proud of his son. And his son's name is John. John is a charter fisherman in Tofino on the West Coast. And he's booked a year, maybe 2 years in advance. Anyway, my wife and I thought, well, we're going to take a little trip. I thought, well, I'll just email him. Send him an email just to see. Say, hi, I know your dad. We're going to be out in that area. Just wanted to, you know, see if there was any opportunity. About an hour later, he phones. Al phones, his dad phones. And says, you're not going to believe it. He just had a cancellation for one day. I said, that's God. But that's not the only story. So we get there. You know, there's lots of little things in between that God does along your trip and stuff. So we're fishing, and you know, it's rough out there in the ocean, so we're staying in amongst the islands, and yeah, fishing's not going too great. That's okay. Aaron and I, you know, most guys take their buddies fishing, I take my wife. She's my buddy. She's brave enough to go, and she endured the seas. I was getting a little green at times. It was fine. But I wanted to, the reason I tell you about the fishing story is not, you know, we caught a fish this big, which it was pretty big. It was about that big. One of them was. But it's the whole thing is how those fish came into the, I mean, this guy's a good charter. But there's days where they don't always catch their limit, right? We caught 14 fish, 2 halibut, 3 salmon, 6 lingcod, and 3 rockfish. But the interesting part of the story is so John is a Christian as well. And every time we would start talking about the Word of God, we'd get a bite. We're talking about the stories that Jesus said to Peter, go back out and, you know, but Lord, we've been fishing all night. Jesus said, but, you know, go back out, it's okay. And they didn't go very far. The fish came to the net. And that happened 3 or 4 times. Every time we'd start talking about the Word of God and about fish, we'd get a bite. Yeah, both lines. 2 salmon. You know, so God was really showing me, well, if that works for catching fish, it'll work for catching men. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. You know, we don't got to go try just leading people to the Lord like it's a job. We just got to tell them about Jesus, about the Word of God, and they'll come looking for the bait. Just like them fish did when they came into the boat. And we did. We thanked the Lord for the fish before we went fishing. Anyway, that's my fishing story, our fishing story. We were pretty blessed. So I want to talk to you this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to, and I'll try to give you the Reader Digest version of the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I want to talk to you about having a, I want to talk to you about purpose. Morning. Everybody here in this room has a purpose. You might be, I know some of you, most of you got gray hair. Some of us got no hair. But that's okay. God still used you. He used Caleb. He was 85. He just really started his ministry then, so don't think you're too old to do anything. You know, you might be the next pastor of the church. You might be the next business person. Who knows? God has a purpose, but so many times we wonder, we want to, you know, God, how are you going to do this? I want to mention a word to you. It's called Mada. What does Mada mean? Well, I'm going to show you. If you read chapter, the Second Chronicles, chapter 1, if you read all the way through that entire chapter, which I'm not going to do for sake of time. If we had more time, I would. But it says Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom. Remember the word kingdom. And the Lord, his God, was with him and made him exceedingly great. Then it goes on, and Solomon spoke to all of Israel, to the captains, thousands and hundreds, and to the judges and to every prince in all of Israel, and the heads of the father's house. And if you keep reading through, you can see that Solomon was already king over Israel, already getting very well established. And when we get down to verse 10 or verse 9, it says, or verse 8, Solomon said to God, "You would have shown great mercy and loving kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place." Sometimes we get to a place and we think, oh, you know what? This is as far as it goes. So then Solomon says, "Now, O Lord, let your promise to David my father be fulfilled. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude." And this is where it gets interesting. He doesn't ask God for the promises. He tells God, "You promised my father." But he says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this your people who are so great?" Now I want to talk to you about, so you understand here that he's managing a kingdom. And from what I can hear in his voice, he's feeling the pressure of managing a kingdom, something that's bigger than he is. And so if you feel like you're in a position where something's bigger than you, and I feel like that quite often, I have to remind myself that this isn't about me. This is about him. This is about God's plan. And so the word knowledge, when you go back into the ancient Hebrew language, is where you get the word Mada, M-A-D-D-A. So Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom and for knowledge. So as you can see from 1 to 10, there are promises in there, but he didn't ask for the promises. He asked the Father. And this is what the word Mada means. So the word that we understand as knowledge, and the world would say, oh, that's science and different things. But let me share with you what Mada means. And this is how Solomon managed the kingdom. And this is how we are to manage the kingdom of God in the earth. Because he gave us authority and dominion, right? Some of you believe it. Amen. So, what does Mada mean? Mada means intelligence, consciousness, knowledge, science, thought. When you go into the ancient picture Hebrew language, it is a picture of a door. And then it has the eye, is a picture of the eye. Through the eye, one experiences his world and learns from it. Combine these pictures, mean the door of the eye is the window into the man's very being. Experience is gained through visual observation. Knowledge is achieved through these experiences. The word knowledge, the word madab, means to have an intimate relationship. M-A-D-D-A. Intimate relationship. Solomon said to God, he already had a lot of stuff. He didn't ask for any more. He said, I want to have relationship with you. And that will give me what I need to manage the kingdom that you have put in my authority. So it's an opinion, it's knowledge. Knowledge through science, you know, it talks about science, a desire to know something, and that's so. To have an intimate relationship with another person, an idea, or an experience. And so for us, we experience God because He lives on the inside of us. And when we start to speak life into situations, whether it's calling a fish to a hook, or a person, whatever it is. And so when Jan was singing the song this morning and I was waving the flag, I could feel the anointing of God. It was powerful. But we want a medah with God. And so that's what He was really, really after. God, I don't, this thing is so big that I need you to be with me. I need to be able to So he asked the Father, really, he said to God, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be intimate with you. Because he knew that this would give him the power to do what God called him to do. And you see, he wanted God, and part of that, in that word in there, in the, if you go through it a little bit deeper, it says that he wanted the source. God is our source. We heard testimonies of healing this morning. God is the source to all things, to healing, to provision. And Solomon understood that. And that's why Jesus said, if my word abides in you and you, and if you and I abide, you abide in me, and I abide in you, what shall you ask the Father? Anything? He didn't say some things. Maybe I'll give them to you. He said, ask anything in my name and the Father will give it to you. This will kill a religious devil. This will kill religious spirits because they don't like it. You know why? Because they can't understand it. And we don't have to understand. All we have to do is trust in Him, in the one who said, these are my promises. So I want to encourage you today and for this coming season. Stop worrying about gas prices. When you find yourself talking about it, and stop it. God is my source. He's not worried about gas prices. He made the gas. He made the cars. I'm speaking to myself. Like Darren said, you know, I have to humble myself to hear God. You know, we don't need to worry about what's going to happen. God's in control. He allowed these people into... I don't want to get caught up in politics. Jesus. It's really called doing life with Jesus. Not in a religious way, because you can say the name of Jesus and not have any power in it. But when we say his name and we know who he is, he shows up. In fact, he lives on the inside of us and walks around in us 24 hours a day. We just need to be aware of it. I mean, if Solomon in the Old Testament before Christ could ask God for that intimate relationship to be the very source, how much more us as believers in Christ who have been filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not just a little bit of him, but the fullness of him. Amen. I'm like, Jesus, I want to ask you this morning, what is it that you want from God? You see, the Lord spoke to us. We have a fairly big vision. We have lots of things on the go. And you can start to look for, you start looking at the vision and you start looking at the promises. And that's okay, but don't let the promise become your main focus. Solomon didn't focus on what God promised him. He focused on, I want to medah with you. And if I medah with you, God, all these promises, they're going to chase me down. And so the Lord was showing me, because in our visions and stuff that we have for our businesses and different things, I'd kind of lost sight of what the main focus was. And the main focus was is to have all of these promises contribute to God's kingdom. So the Lord said, focus on the main center of the promise. Not the outer, because the outer will flow into the inner. And that's the same thing here. Whatever God has called you to do, I mean, I know it's hard to do, especially in business. And when you have lots going on, you want to focus on those things. But we need to focus on the promise. And so God said, I really want you to medah with me. Just hang out with me. And I will lead you and I will show you things. And if you think it's too hard, that's good. That's even better, because it's not about you. It's about him making it happen. Amen? You see, but we are human, and I'm probably more human than some of you in some ways. I don't mean as human beings. I mean as, you know, as a person, you know, you got to figure it all out. God, I got to have this figured out, or how do I do this? We don't always have to have it figured out. We can go step by step and just trust him. You see, faith is one thing, but trust is another. Trust is when the lady, the dear sister, said, no, God told me to get up and I'm walking through 4 days of pain, but I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to walk this out. That's trust. There's an element of faith in there. Faith says, yeah, I believe it. Trust says, I'm going to do it because he's going to make it happen. Amen? And the same with our country. Oh, it's going to hell in a handbasket. Yep. We sing the song. Oh God, we stand on guard for this nation. We stand on guard. We have dominion here. He said it'll be healing to the nations. And I want to tell you something. The BC flag represents the coat of arms in BC. You know, he said from sea to sea from that end and sea to sea on this end. And so we were meeting our good business friends on the island. And they believe that the greatest revival that's ever going to sweep this earth is going to start on the island, and it's going to start in the First Nations. That's what they believe. That's what they've been told. That's their promise. So I thought, God, light it up. We are living in the greatest time of history. We're living in the greatest province and the greatest country. Amen. I won't be long, but turn with me. So you know what? This kind of fills in a little bit. You know, the Old Testament always relates back to the New Testament or vice versa. But in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 it says, that entire chapter, though, is amazing. You know, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could even dare ask or think. Some people ain't daring nothing. They're not even, they don't, but we got to ask not for the things. God knows what we need. But he wants to show us greater things. So, I'm almost done here. I'm going to shock some of you, okay? And nobody said okay, but I'm going to do it anyway. Huh? Oh, maybe I couldn't hear. Maybe I was focusing. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14 to 21, and I'll finish up with that, but I'll read it first, and then this would be sacrilegious in some places, you know, to tell yourself, and I want you to, you know, tell yourself that you love yourself. You ever done that? God loves you. He loves us. He wants you, and the Bible says, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you know you can only love other people as much as you know that God loves you? And when we begin to love the people out there, not judge them, because they messed up. We were messed up. You know, there's a lot of controversy going on right now about some of the new things that are happening in the States and Canada. There's an uproar. You know, we don't need to judge, we need to love them. So, you know, tell yourself that you love yourself. I love myself. You see, that's hard to do. But if God loves you, why wouldn't you love yourself? The Bible says love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. So I was listening to a message and it was really, we have to love them. Jesus was moved with compassion. And I'm speaking to myself because I'm actually not that loving of a guy. But God's, you know, he's working on me. He's building it up. Ephesians here says, you know. He says, for this reason, seeing the greatness of his plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow the knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I sang that song this morning. The Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you out of the rich treasures of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with a mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts, and may you be rooted deep in his love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all saints God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself. There's that word experience. We are experiencing God. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. Without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God and may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Woo, Jesus, hallelujah. Are you getting excited yet? And then he says, and now I'm going to tell you a little story about, you know what, I'm going to do, you ask me for something. God, show me how to love those people. I'm going to do even greater than that. I'm going to make you fall in love with them. I'm going to give you a hunger for them. This is now unto him who by inconsequence of the actions of his power. That is at work in us, say at work in me, is able to carry out his purpose and to do superabundantly far over and above all that I could even dare ask or think, infinitely beyond your highest prayer, desire, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. And to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout our generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's how much God loves us. And he wants us to love them. I'm finding that it makes it a lot easier to minister when you have compassion. And I know some of you are very compassionate people. I'm just not one of them. I'm just being honest with you. So I have to ask God, Lord, give me compassion for the lost. You know, those that are. Give me compassion to pray for the leaders of our country. Because it's just easy to throw them under the bus. I said, Lord, what would I say if I had up? I was listening to a message, and you know that we as kingdom people are to be influencers in the nation. So if I ever had opportunity to have lunch with the PM, what would I say to him? I mean, that's just a thought I had. I mean, I asked my wife, what would we say? I'm not going to say that. You know what I mean? God, you'd have to prepare my heart to have that conversation. But if we have the heart of God and the sister, the Madah, we would be prepared to have that conversation. And you know what God will do? He will make a way for you to have that conversation. That's how it works. Amen? And that's the word God has for us today. Yeah. Dan's got, she wants to add something. You need the microphone. We got time. It's sunny outside. But
The Lord has been bringing this up because, again, our heart, he's always working on. He wants to bring us to his fullness so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. And he does it a lot. He shows me a lot of visions. And I have had aught with a person who had robbed from us big time, another Christian. And I mean, that was a wounding. And he showed me a vision of, actually, we were in the prayer room back there, and the chairs were set up in a circle, and there was all these different people in there, me included, sitting in a chair, and Jesus was standing in the middle. And there were some guys like off the street, you know, really dirty looking, and you could tell they were probably shooting up just a little while before, and all these different people from really well-dressed people and everything, and happened to be across from me sitting the person who had done that. And Jesus went to every single person in that circle And he spoke the most beautiful words to each one. Like, you know, like we make judgments, snap judgments about that street guy, you know, kind of thing. You know, just long beard and, you know. And he spoke destiny and he spoke beautiful, beautiful words to that person. And it was so blessing me. But, of course, when he got to that one, I'm thinking, Lord, you know, you're a God of justice. You're going to tell him that he needs to apologize and, you know, kind of thing. But he didn't. Because, you see, he only sees us in his love. And he spoke destiny and he spoke something beautiful to that man. And it broke something in my heart. And I went, my God, Lord, you are a lover before you are a judge. And that he wants us to be restored to his heart. And so my heart was sinning, you know, because I was holding something. And we cannot do that. His love is so much greater. And so it really did change. And something else came up, and he's been working on that. And so, you know, he's never let me forget that vision. So just wanted to share that about his love.
Praise God, I'm not the only one. Amen. So I take this one step further. Before you speak negative about your own situation, your own body, Lord, why is this not happening? Why am I not being, you know? Begin to speak life to your body. Whatever part hurts you, begin to love it. Say, I love my body. We had a meeting with a scientist, super, super brilliant Christian, 4 master's degrees. I think I shared with you, he took his students and they pulled blood out of their veins and they spoke the word love. They put it under a microscope and what you saw was amazing. Absolutely creative. He had other ones pull out blood at the same time and spoke the word hate. And it was absolutely amazing what we saw on his computer showing us. And we know that. But so many times we speak about the situation that we're in rather than what God sees. And he sees us whole, well, healed. So we have to co-create with God with our words. That's why I said, tell you, I love myself. Take that home. The first time you do it, it's gonna seem weird to you. No, it's not weird. It's no different than telling your spouse or your friend, I love you. And sometimes you need to know that you're loved. Amen. You're all amazing. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we want to do life with you. And Lord, we want to speak your word. So Lord, we spoke your word and fish came to the boat. God, we want to speak your word and have people come to the house, get saved, get come to the kingdom. No, we don't want them to come to church. We want them to come to the kingdom. We want to come to salvation. So Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your love for us. It says to know your love, the height, the depth, the width of it. So Lord, I'm asking you today, show us your love for us in a greater measure, beyond what we know, beyond what we can comprehend. Paul prayed that, so Lord, we come alongside with that prayer, wherever he wrote it and where he wrote it from and the time that he wrote it. So we align ourselves with it today. to know that love. Mighty name of Jesus. Amen. What a day. What a day. Anybody needs prayer? We're open to pray. Altars are open. I'll probably just tell you to love yourself. Have an amazing week.